Andrew, it's got to be nice to be back at Wilmington Country Club, where you've had an opportunity to do some work in the last couple of years, and some of it maybe a little more challenging when you show up here and find that a tornado's gone through and wrecked half the golf course.
Absolutely, yeah. It was quite a shock that we went from looking at this place as a really significant major golf event, and then all of a sudden, in a matter of weeks, a massive tornado that changed the whole canvas. So, but we utilized it as an opportunity to make significant improvements, improve the quality of golf, not only for the BMW Championship, but also for the members.
Well, whether it's to extend length or not, a lot of architects are taking trees out these days to help the superintendents maybe grow turf a little easier and things like that. But in some ways, were you able to actually get rid of any trees that maybe was really good for the golf course?
There were maybe a few, especially along what is the member's sixth hole, that was struggling maybe from an agronomic standpoint. But really, there were a lot of really good trees that we would like to protect that were actually damaged in that storm event, which was sad. But we, like I said, we took it as a potential opportunity to make the golf course better.
Mm-hmm. Did you replant any or move any, or were any some of the ones that got knocked down, were any of them able to be saved?
Yeah, any of the ones that were damaged ended up having to come down. But then we were able to plant a few trees in select areas that certainly will grow. It's hard to replace a 200-year-old tree, right?
Were you able to add any length to the golf course as a result, and how much would that be in yardage?
I don't know if I have the exact yardage with me as far as the total length we were able to gain, but I think it was 8 back tees that we added, a significant distance on a number of holes. We also, as I alluded to previously, were able to take advantage of the topography in better ways by putting those back tees in, and also the dog legs, getting those dog leg points in better positions for the long player so that they couldn't overpower them. Those are really the goals.
How much did you have to do with the tour people to make them feel comfortable still about bringing this tournament here?
Oh, it's a beautiful partnership. They're outstanding in the way they work with clubs and with architects to make sure that they maintain the integrity of the golf course, but put on the best test and challenge possible for their players. So it was really a hand-in-hand thing. We went back and forth on a number of the decisions. At the end of the day, they were very receptive to allow Wilmington Country Club to do the things that they thought were right.
Mm-hmm. How much pride did you take being able to watch the event last week at Congressional, where you did some work and watched the best ladies get out there and have a crack at it?
It was so much fun. The ladies are so good. It's ridiculous how well they hit the ball. Pound for pound, just spectacular. And I really enjoyed watching them figure out the golf course, use course management, play creative shots. NG just played out of her mind. It was beautiful to see her play. But I really think even her magnificent round on Thursday, she knew where to hit the ball. She'd studied it. Her caddy had been there a couple times, and I think that really spoke to her success.
One of the questions about that golf course for many years was always having that finishing 18 hole as a par 3. Now, you were able to change that out, correct?
Yeah, so that space had seen a number of different variations. It was always a bit of a challenge. Actually, Devereaux Emmett's first design had par 3s to close both 9s and par 6s in there. So it was quite a unique, interesting routing way back when the course was first founded. From our standpoint, what had been the 17th hole, like when Ernie won and played to the par 3, the 17th hole was the hole that Ken Venturi won on, and they kind of reworked the routing and avoided the par 3. In our instance, we ended up making the 10th hole a short par 3 downhill next to the clubhouse. It makes for an interesting downhill shot, an interesting kind of length shot in the closing 9, and then also better connects number 9 to number 11.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us, is there anything else that you're working on right now that you're looking forward to seeing the dirt piles finally grow in and other things like that, the bunkers get sanded and the golfers back out on the golf course?
Sure, yeah. I'm just finishing up Indian Creek in Miami, Florida. Really amazing place, very unique. And next year I have Interlochen in Minneapolis and East Lake. So two really good, amazing historic places.
One final question. Just any thoughts on golf architecture in general? I mean, we see things now we didn't see 15 years ago. A lot of white sand going in many cases, less trees. What do you see in your crystal ball as to where maybe some are not only new construction when there is some, but renovations and restorations are going?
So a couple things on that. The first is, I think after Tiger's boom, when things got longer and harder consistently, even for the average player, it was getting longer and harder. I think we've had a nice nice transition to the game being more of a factor of enjoyment. Challenge is still always going to be a part of the game, but that we're trying to make the golf course more accessible, more forward tees, more thoughtful design, more width, and all of those things make the game of golf more enjoyable. And then the last thing I'd say is I think there are a lot of clubs that are going to be facing major infrastructure improvements. If you think about the golf courses that were built or renovated between 1980 and the mid-2000s, those courses are starting to be 20, 30 years old and will have to do something to update their infrastructure. So that'll be a huge thing over the next few years.